I want you to look at me this morning, if you would, verse 5 of our text. You'll notice Satan is attempting to use one of his tactics and wiles, one of his devices, if you will, against the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 5 says, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him, unto him, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." I want to speak this morning on the subject, watch the other hand. Watch the other hand. If I were to take a coin this morning and show it to you, and then, you've all seen this, grab it with my left hand, you know you should have watched the other hand. That's a good trick, right? Steve Hatcher back there, can you see this? Watch this. See that? It's amazing, isn't it? All the way from back there. One of the things that people forget about our adversary, the devil, this is, of course, deception. It's trickery. John 8:44 says that his words, whenever the devil is speaking, no matter what he says, the scripture says he is speaking a lie, for he speaketh of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. In other words, now follow this, he is the first con artist, Satan is the first charlatan, the first deceiver, fraud, the first ripoff artist, so that anybody in this room, anybody, whoever takes his word for anything, he's been conned. You've been tricked, bamboozled, fooled, hustled, scammed. Some young person says, yeah, I'm just out now doing my own thing. I'm living my own life and making my own rules. Actually, you've been had. You've been defrauded, deceived, lied to, and you fell for it. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly the healthy perspective that we as God's people ought to have toward the father of lies. When Satan offered to the Lord Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, he said it was not in any way an honest offer. It was a con job. It was a lie. It was false advertising at its height. There's a Latin word made popular in the legal world referring to a so-called bona fide statement. Bona fide means in good faith. And it refers to an offer that is honest, sincere, legal, lawful, genuine. The Latin antonym to that word is mollified. It means in bad faith. In fact, the Latin prefix mal, meaning bad, reminds us of many words like malice and malnutrition, malpractice, malcontent, malignant. And a lot of wives in this room would include the word male along with those. But again, a mollified offer or a bona fide offer, this is the question concerning Satan's words in chapter 4. And ladies and gentlemen, it behooves us all this morning to see and to understand how our Lord Jesus, as our example, there's a reason why he put this story in the Bible. We know it happened, but there's a reason why so much of the New Testament concerns this one incident. And it behooves us to see how exactly Jesus saw through the facade. How is it that he saw through the sham? And thankfully, for our benefit, rejected the fake offer. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word will convict us, guide us, open our eyes, shed light into our hearts. In every way, Father, we need your help, and we pray for it. Thank you for the example, the actions of our Lord Jesus, our Savior, who though he was attacked as no man has ever been attacked with temptation and Satan in flesh, in the spirit, we pray, Father, that we will learn from his example. And how grateful we are. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most unusual dislikes in the human experience, I think you'll agree, is the feeling that one gets when you realize that you've just been conned. I've counseled scores of people who have harbored 20, 30 years of bitterness because way back when, somebody ripped them off. Somebody took advantage of them. Now, had somebody punched them in the nose, had somebody called them a name or made fun of their looks or kicked their dog, it would have been water under the bridge by now. They probably have forgotten it, even forgiven them. But there's something in the human spirit that despises the idea of being conned. There are only a few things that I really remember well as a child living in central Turkey, but one thing I've never forgotten through all these years. Our family was spending the day and the evening over at another Air Force family in their home, and all of the kids, all of us, were downstairs, their kids and my parents and all my brothers and sister. We were downstairs in the basement, and this older boy pulled out a little can of hard candy. It was the ribbon-colored candy that you've seen before, right? Well, you know, to a second grader, it looked, and who's living in Turkey, and you don't have a lot of the stuff you had in America, it looked precious to me. So the kid said, "Jimmy, you want to buy this or trade me something for it?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Just tell me what you want." He said, "Well, I paid $100 for this can of candy, but I'll give it to you for $20. I didn't have $20, but I knew where I could get it, my mom's purse. And so this kid took out a piece of candy. He gave me one free sample. Put that in my mouth. That was amazing. So I ran upstairs without them looking, without my mom knowing. I took $20 out. Because to me, what's a little piece of paper for a $100 can of candy? So I proudly made the exchange to the horror of my older brothers. They didn't stop me, though, I remember. On the way home, I got busted because my brothers were crunching on all this candy as well as I. You know, $20 to an airman in 1965 was a lot of money. Enough, as a matter of fact, to buy about 30 cans of candy. And so when my dad found out that I'd taken it, stolen was his word for taking it. For my mother's purse, he didn't wait until we got home. He pulled over right then and there, and he got all patriotic with the stars and the stripes. He laid down the stripes, and I saw the stars, right? And I can remember all the way home, my dad, my mom, my brothers, my sister, "Jimmy, you're so stupid. How dumb. Do you really think?" And they did the math over and over again. Worst part is I never saw the candy again. But I've never forgotten that horrible empty feeling you have, feeling people saying you're dumb, you're naive, you've been lied to and taken advantage of. Nobody likes to be conned. Nobody likes to be tricked or lied to or deceived, but that is exactly what Satan does on a regular basis. I just taught Sunday school. I teach the high school, junior high class, and I just taught a Sunday school lesson on astrology, and I brought the horoscope. And I read it to the young people, and I talked, and we went through the scriptures, many, many scriptures that talk about looking to the stars for guidance and help. And I asked them, "How many of you know your sign?" They all knew their sign. We were in Deuteronomy. He said, "How do you know what the book of Deuteronomy means, the word?" None of them raised their hands. But they all knew their sign, and I talked about how foolish it is, how naive it is to believe in something that is a lie. But how? How in the world does the devil get away with deceiving and conning so many people? I can assure you this, ladies and gentlemen, it's not because you're just naive. It's not just for the clueless that are suspects for Satan's wiles. I heard about two ladies went to Vegas. They were given $100 each. One was a blonde. One lady came out in 5 minutes, lost everything. She was sitting by the fountain and waited and waited and waited. Finally, the blonde came out with bags of coins. She said, "Man, you did amazing." She said, "Yeah. There's a machine all the way in the back. Get this, if you put a dollar in, you get 4 quarters. That's naive. So, Pastor, how in the world can brilliant people, professors at universities, engineers, people who should know better? A few years ago, I was reading an article in Consumer Reports magazine about the three greatest techniques that con artists, that liars all use to fool their potential victims. I remember as I read through it, I thought, this is in the Bible, this is in the Bible, this is in the Bible. I clipped that article and I saved it because I noticed that all of those devices were used by Satan both in the Garden of Eden and in the wilderness temptation. I remind you that he's the father of lies. A father has children. I was reading this article, I thought, these were the children of the father. But they're using his lies and his tactics. See, what are they, Pastor? For example, the first tactic they listed as an effective weapon of deceit is what they called, number one, hidden costs. The hidden costs. Look at verse 6, would you? "The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and I whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." True. Sort of. In other words, Satan told Jesus that the cost of having all of the kingdoms of the world for himself right then and there was just bow down. That's all. Just do it right here and right now. And all you have to do, this is simple enough. Bend your knee. Worship the devil. How simple. How easy. How instant. One easy payment. And the whole world was his. The problem is, he didn't mention the fine print. Young people in this room, Satan never does, he did not hear, mention the hidden costs. These are the little hidden costs that are at the bottom of the contract that Planned Parenthood never told you about. This is the full price that is never shown on MTV or at a party full of drugs. He says, look, just bow down one time. Could it really be that easy? Could it really be that simple? And could it really be that cheap? No. Rebellion is never that easy. Idolatry is never that simple, never that cheap. Solomon said, the way of transgressors is hard. No matter how easy the path looks, it becomes hard. So that somebody's going to pay the full price. All those people that died at Waco under David Koresh. All those people that died with Heaven's Gate. All those people that died in Guyana with Jim Jones. All those people that died in suicide attempts in 9/11 and since, and attacks. You do realize that they were all lied to. They were all, and people are today, all being conned by fake religion. It's no different than when Satan lies to you about the cost of cheating your employer to get ahead, or the cost, young people, of one night of drugs, or the cost of drunkenness. The truth is, all of Satan's offers, all of them are full scams. When Satan talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he swindled her. He did not mention to her any of the hidden costs. And you know what? Frauds never do. You know, on a practical level, our nation, ladies and gentlemen, is on a path to irreversible economic destruction. An irreversible path that we are on, and politicians continue to promise this and promise that and guarantee entitlements for which there is zero financial support in the future. It's a socialist Ponzi scheme. It makes Bernie Madoff look like a fourth grader selling candy, because there are these hidden costs that include ultimately the destruction of our very nation if we're not careful. The whole notion that you can have something and not work for it goes against the clear instruction of God's word. It's a scam. It is a lie. The whole notion that you are entitled, that I am entitled to leisure without work, it is a hoax. It is a swindle. It is a shakedown. As is any offer that goes against the wisdom of this book. I wonder this morning what it is that you're turning to, what voice, what religion, what thing, what ism, that you're turning to because it sounds really good, but turning away from this book. There are parents in this room, you have little ones. You've been reading some secular book on child rearing, you know what the scripture says, but that's too hard. That takes too much time and investment. You have to be a father. You have to be a mother. You have to be hands-on. So you're turning to some other thing. Hidden costs. The second article mentioned, number two, half-truths. It said, number one, there are hidden costs. Number two, there are half-truths they use. Look at verse 9, would you? He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Well, looky now who's quoting scripture. Look who's quoting scripture, Satan, to God himself. And of course, what he quotes, ladies and gentlemen, is true. The Bible is always true. But if you'll check out the entire text in Psalm 19, you will see that he only quoted part of it. He did not quote all of it as he's applying it to the Lord Jesus, so that in other words, he's trying to convince Jesus that half of the story is the entire story. It would be sort of like Arthur. Where's Arthur at? Arthur, you in here? Where's Arthur Stanley? I don't know where he's at. He's trying to sell me his little green pickup truck. That figures. Look at him way back there. Swindlers always hide in the back when they're in church, don't they? Say, Arthur wants to sell me his little green pickup truck. And he says, Pastor, I want to sell you my little truck. And Arthur tells me that it's got 300,000 miles on it. Now, I know that it has bad transmission, faulty wiring, a bent chassis from running into a tree twice. But he says, it's only $5,000, Pastor. Although I must be honest with you, it does need new wipers. Now, look. That would be true. It needs new wipers. But it would not be the truth that he is telling. And that's what the devil does. You know, when someone goes to a court of law and they take an oath, you know what they do? They place their hand on the Bible. And they solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but the whole truth. I'm told that it used to be in our country that someone was guilty of perjury, not just for lying, but for not telling the whole truth while under oath. And it takes a very good lawyer these days, an attorney, to get out the whole truth. Well, guess what, folks? Satan never tells the whole truth. Young people, the devil never tells you the whole truth. What he does do is tell you just enough truth to deceive your heart. He may even smile and say, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that heaven is real? It's true. But so is the fact that God hates sin and that hell is real and that Jesus Christ is the only way out of one and to the other. If one of our missionaries went to Africa, South America, and just told those dear people that God loved them and heaven's real and that is all, they would not be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. They would actually be the devil's messengers because it's not the whole truth. Pastor, what do you think about this new book, Love Wins? And all of the shows that Rob Bell's been on television, Good Morning America. What do you think about this new book that says that everybody's going to heaven? Which would be Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer, and you go down the list. I think that if you looked at the book and said Love Wins, it's a book full of lies based on half-truths. It's deception. Lost people, beloved, need the whole gospel. And the whole gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That's what it says. He died for our sins, that he was dead, that he was buried, that he rose again for our sins. How do you fool a person? How does Satan con a sinner or a saint? Hidden costs. Half-truths. The third thing, the third tactic in the article, they said, and in the text, is what they called here and now. In other words, the true shyster and the true ripoff artist, he doesn't ever want you to focus on what your decision will mean for tomorrow, only what it means for this moment. When I was a kid, I remember they had a car salesman on TV up in Satellite Beach. And if you lived in South Florida in the 70s, I guess it was, 60s, 70s, you may remember this guy. He would stand in front of a car, and he would say, you can own this brand new, almost brand new, well, kind of new BMW 4 off of our lot today. And there'd be a price on the windshield that says $4,000. And he would take a crowbar, and he would smash the windshield and say, no, make that price in half. Now it's only $2,000. Do it now. Do it today. Call this moment. Only now. Only this time. It's simple. It's free. It's fast. Works like magic. No payments till 2099 or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. I wonder how many in this room right now could go home and with your credit alone, if you wanted to, you could go buy a brand new car. I dare say that many scores of people in this room right now could be driving a brand new car if you just went to this place, took your credit, threw it down, and said, look, get me a brand new car. You could come home with it. But why don't you? Because you know that tomorrow comes, and then the next month. And you know, salesmen know that as well. So here's what they say. They say no payments for 23 months. It puts tomorrow out of your mind. What you want? You young people, I want a Maytag washer and dryer. I want it now. Took my parents 30 years to get it, but I want it now. And guess what? They'll tell you over at Sears or wherever that you can have it now and don't even have to worry about it for 12 months. It puts tomorrow out of your head. Satan says today, look at verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Many years ago in my Bible, I circled the word world. And then I circled the word time. It's a very powerful juxtaposition. You know why? Because Satan wants you to focus on what the world offers in the context of time. The world is here. The time is now. When it comes to the devil, it's always here and now. World, time. What he does not want is for you to focus on what God offers in the context of eternity. Ask you a question. When Satan took the Lord Jesus to the top of that mountain and showed him, the Bible says, in a moment of time, all the kingdoms of the world. What did our Lord see? Well, let's see. That was about AD 30. So one thing he saw was the entire Roman Empire. He saw it during its imperial reign. All of its glory, all of its grandeur, all of its power, that was Rome. As the ancient saying put it, Augustus found it brick, but he left it marble. It was wonderful, and it was offered to Christ. But that wasn't all that day and at that moment. Because it says that Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world. So that in addition to Rome, Satan showed him the Han Dynasty in China. An amazing empire. With all of its art and philosophy already surrounded by the Great Wall and the magnificence of the Forbidden City, that was offered as well, but that's not all. There was also the Mayan civilization in Central America, the predecessors of the Aztecs, and so many others. All of these, Satan said, could be his right now, right here. All the kingdoms of the world, what a deal. All he had to do was bow down. He would become the first truly global leader. And what if our Lord had yielded to that amazing offer? Here and now, right now, this moment, it's all yours. Just bow your knee. What if Christ had yielded? I have a question. Where is the Roman Empire today? What is left of the Chinese dynasties, the Aztec, the Mayan empires today? If he had taken them there and then, where are they now? What are they good for? Well, I can tell you what they are. They're tourist attractions. We call them ruins because they're ruined. Ruins to be photographed with Aunt Alice and Uncle Joe, right? Statues with no arms. It's all that's left. You see, Satan's greatest offer in the history of the world. Think about this. The greatest offer ever made to a single man in all of man's history was a colossal ripoff. It was a sham. Because Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The translation of that is, God values a single soul of greater worth than the entire world. And you know, when Satan tried to offer everything in a moment, think about that. You don't have to wait. He's not offering a new car right now. He's offering everything in a moment. At that very moment, it was still, even then, a raw deal. Why? Because 2,000 years later, everything that he ever offered is turning to dust. And 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, already enthroned. And any minute now, Jesus will come and reign and be as the King of Kings, and of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. It pays to wait. It pays to see God's greater offer. If Satan's offer of all of the glory and the power of the entire world, folks, was a bad deal, what about that phony offer he's making to you at work? Should we sell out eternal things for some material gain or promotion or acceptance? Shouldn't we realize that even if it's true that certain things sound good, that certain things look good, shouldn't we realize that it's a terrible trade-off for eternal things? Should not we discern and reject all of the half-truths, all of the hidden costs, all the here-and-now tactics of the father of lies, of the biggest shyster ever? And the answer is yes. Beloved, watch the other hand. And do exactly as our Lord Jesus did in verse 4. when he said, "It is written"? In verse 8, you'll notice he said, in answer to Satan, "It is written." In verse 12, you'll notice he said, in answer to Satan again, "It is written." You see, ladies and gentlemen, nothing exposes a sham and a cheat and a swindle and a lie better than does the Word of God. Some of you here this morning, you've been conned into believing that good works or sincerity or religion or whatever else is going to get you into heaven. Satan's a liar and the father of lies. You've been conned into not believing this book that says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes in the Father but by me." This book that says you must be born again. That if you're not born again, Jesus said, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You've been conned, deceived into believing that your religion will get you there, that your sincerity, that your good works, that your gifts will get you there. No. The truth is, watch that other hand, the truth is you must be born again. Today, believe the truth. Christian in this room, others of you here, young people, there are young people in this room. You're in Christian homes and Christian families. And you've already taken into your hand drugs and smoked them or ingested them in some way. And you've been told this is a good decision. You've been conned. It is not. Young people in this room, with your rebellion or your pleasure, your freedom. Young couples borrowing and spending money and leisure without labor. Child-rearing philosophies of man instead of God. Watch the other hand. You see, it's very simple. It's extremely simple. The way you are never really deceived and fooled is to have faith in this book. Jesus said, "It's written, it's written, it's written." He didn't try to answer with his own strength or anything else. He said, "It's written, it's written, it's written." Always turn to the Word of God. I don't know who it is this morning or how many of you that God had this message for. I know this, it was supposed to be tonight's message. And for whatever reason, I felt compelled to bring it in the morning instead of at night. There may be a lot of young people here today. And you're being completely bamboozled, fooled. Let the Holy Spirit shed light in your mind and your heart. There may be some Christian parents and Christians in business. The here and now is getting to you. The half-truths have worked their magic. The hidden costs are going to cost you a great price. There may be folks in this room, you've been fooled and conned into thinking that, you know, God is a God of love. He would never, ever send you or anybody else into hell or separation from Him just because you didn't trust in Christ. You can either trust what the Scripture says or trust what man invents. I don't know what your need is or what God would speak to your heart about, but I hope that you'll listen to it. Pastor, I'm here today and I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the living God. When it comes to finances, when it comes to my children, when it comes to work and earning, providing for my own, which the Scripture says if I don't do, I'm worse than an infidel. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to whatever. The topic is, in today's society, I want to trust God. I don't want to be fooled. Our Father, we thank you for the example of our Lord and Savior Christ, the Lord Jesus, who, in the greatest attack and temptation ever, showed us how to fight and win and not be fooled. And I pray, Father, that as your people, I pray, God, as ambassadors of Christ, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the world needs that treasure. May our eyes always be upon your word and our faith in your word. For young people in this room, Lord, whose eyes and thoughts are clouded with scams and lies of the father of lies, I pray you'll help them, Lord, open their hearts and eyes. For those who are not saved, several hands were raised, Father, of folks in this room right now who said, "Pray for me, I'm not sure." May they be sure before they leave. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.